They long for a better way of life, for the promise of a home built on love and courage.
We're home.
The land did its best to defeat them.
I lose those oxen, I can't make a crop. I can't make a crop, we lose everything.
But they kept the promise alive.
That when this family pulls together, we can do anything.
Come home to a simpler time. Come home to Little House on the Prairie.
An American original return starting Monday at 4 on TV6.
Welcome to Wagon Talks, where we discuss the upcoming events of Walnut Grove, such as London Circus coming into town, baking contest, sales at the Mercantile, as well as listing much-needed services such as a new blacksmith. And the day would not be complete without the most updated Granger news right out of Chicago. Actually, no. Although that might be a lot of fun for us bonnet heads. This offshoot of Walnut Grovecast is an experiment into you, the listener, and the fans of Little House on the Prairie. In each one of these wagon talks, I hitch the team with a fellow Little House fan and head into town, and we have a chat along the way. If you would like to participate in a future episode of Wagon Talks, please email me at mark, M-A-R-K, at walnutgrovecast.com. On this episode of Wagon Talks, we speak to Josie and Gerald Lang. Today, I have a young lady, 12-year-old Josie, on the line from Tennessee. How are you, Josie?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk about, let's all just agree to it, the most legendary television show in history.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be able to come on. This is like my dream come true. Thank you.
Aw, that's, well, I'm glad I could provide that, Josie. So if you could talk a little bit about who you are and a little bit about yourself, you don't have to get too personal, and kind of what you're all about. I know that you're 12 years old, so you're probably a student, I'm going to guess. So the microphone is yours. Please talk away.
All right. So I have always lived in Nashville, Tennessee since I was born. I've always been homeschooled as a kid. I've been homeschooled my whole life. I started watching Little House when I was around 9 or 10. It was a show that was kind of like my comfort, like my perfect family. My parents got divorced a little over a year ago. And Little House was kind of like my safe place. It was that one place where I could have my perfect family. Pa and Ma were like my parents. It was my family. And my dad just recently got remarried in August. My mom has a boyfriend now.
You know what's interesting? You know, my parents were divorced when I was very young. And I don't know if I went to Little House for it, but I definitely went to different books and different movies probably and TV shows. And you're right, it's a good escape. And looking back, you know, I kind of wish I did embrace Little House because it really does give you this wonderful foundation. And I'm sure your parents did what's best for, you know, for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, the end result is probably going to be fantastic for everyone, including you.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you embraced Little House on the Prairie that way. And you are probably, are you in seventh grade?
Yes, I'm in seventh grade.
Okay. When you said that you first saw Little House when you were just a single digit 9 years old, right?
Yeah, I think I was about like 10 or 11. I had kind of heard of it through my grandparents and my dad as a kid. He watched it, but I was like, this is probably not going to be interesting. And like, me and my brother were just sitting on the couch, and then I was like, hey, what if we try out Little House on the Prairie? And the first episode
How about we do?
Yeah. The first episode I actually watched, it wasn't the first one. It wasn't the pilot episode. It was, like, the one where Laura finds that raccoon. And we were just like, oh my gosh, this is so traumatizing. And we love it. And so me and my brother actually watched it together. It was, like, our family show. We loved it so much. And I finished the show, I think, last year, the whole show.
Holy cow, you went through all 9 seasons?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Every night I would watch like 2 to 3 episodes. I loved it.
Would you say that, do you have a favorite episode and a least favorite episode now that you have all of the entire universe in front of you over the past, like, 24 months?
Yeah. So, I haven't really gone back and watched the season again. I've been like, oh, I've watched all of it. I can just go wherever I want. But I think my favorite episode, this is really hard because all of them are really, really good. My favorite is probably the one where there's like that big plague. There's several, but the one in the town of Walnut Grove with like...
Yeah, there's the quarantine and there's the plague.
Yeah, the plague is my favorite one.
So funny. Mm-hmm. But it's not funny. Yeah, I couldn't... Very dramatic. Maybe you lean towards more of the really... monumental.
Yeah.
So it's the big ones, very topical for the time. What about least favorite? Which one will you roll your eyes at if somebody brings up?
Well, I feel like I was really upset when like the Carter family came to kind of like replace them.
Who are these people?
I know. I was like, you're trying to be the Ingalls family and you're not. Like, yeah. And
so, I'm surprised you didn't just kind of walk on the screen and, like, you know, finger wag at them and say, you get out of here.
Yeah, I know. I was like, when I saw Ma and Pa leaving, I legit started crying. And I was like, no! Like, they're perfect.
Yeah. John Carter, the new blacksmith. You know, it's...
Yeah.
I love the Carters. Personally, I accept everything that's happened in the universe of Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
If you could... stop at the mercantile right now and run in and buy one particular item. Would there be an item? What is
it? I don't...
Grab it and run.
I love the dresses that they have. They have, like, a very mm-hmm. minimal selection, but they're so fancy. And then maybe one of, like, their really cute, like, stained glass lamps.
Because very nice.
Those are all very cute. Or, like, a cast iron skillet or something.
Do you have a favorite and least favorite character?
Okay, so like my least, like the bad guy characters, like I wouldn't call Mrs. Olsen a bad guy, but she's probably honestly one of my favorite because she's so good and so bad at the same time. Mm-hmm. She's so sassy and like maniacal. I didn't really like Nellie, but I liked her as she got older. But I think my least favorite is probably John Carter.
John Carter. Yeah. I get it. You know, you don't want to see this new guy step in. He's supposed to be the new Pa.
Yeah.
And the house somehow looks better a little bit
yeah.
if you look at it.
It makes you feel like there's like these people that are trying to be Ma and Pa, and he doesn't even have a beard. He doesn't even have the muscles. Like, where did he go? What happened?
He's no Pa. Yeah. He's no Charles Ingalls. Let's just leave it at that. Wow, John Carter. Okay. What are your thoughts on Laura Ingalls Wilder's literature, all of the books that she wrote?
My dad, how I got introduced to Little House, like the books, when I was really little, maybe about 6 or 7, my dad started reading us the books. And mm-hmm. I fell in love with Pa and Laura, and I loved that lifestyle. And my whole life, I've always been that kid who's into poems or writing or reading and wanting to live in the woods alone. And I think I really liked the books. I love the books and the show. They're so different. But it gives you the two different worlds of Little House.
Sure.
I haven't finished all of the books yet, but I've watched the whole show, which I'm surprised. But I love the books.
Okay. Well, that's good. I think it's good to enjoy both of them.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to have a nice foundation. You have to understand that it's two completely separate universes, but they somehow collide. So it's strange. It's a lot of strangeness. What do you think the world gets? This is kind of a serious question. What do you think the world gets from Little House on the Prairie today? You know, there are new fans like yourself. You know, you're 12 years old. But we have fans who watched it when they had children and it first aired. You know, we have listeners. And it really, it's the entire gamut. You know, it's really strange how there are so many different types of people in so many different age classes. So what do you think the world is getting from this? And in some countries, it's brand new and they're embracing it for the first time.
I think Little House is something that everybody, I think, can get addicted to. It's very, and I think people like now in our world, like being freaked out with COVID and everything like that, you need a safe place. And I think Little House can provide that for everyone if they let it. And I think Little House really provides the world, like, I definitely learned a ton of manners and how kids are supposed to act.
Like from Willie, right?
No. Like, yeah, I mean, no. My brother definitely learned from Willie, but no. but, like, you really got to see how families used to be, and that is something that all of us definitely miss. Like, family used to be such a simple thing, and I think everybody needs that.
Josie, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Up next is Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast. We've hitched the team, and even though we had a little bit of a mishap in the recording, I have Gerald Lang. He helped me put a new wheel on the editing device, and we're moving forward. We're heading into the mercantile. How you doing, Gerald?
Doing well. I'm looking forward to doing a little talking on the wagon here as we stroll along.
Whoa, it's a pothole. So Gerald goes by Jerry as well, so I don't know if you happen to see a Jerry Lang, that's him on the Facebook group. Jerry is an artist. You deal with a lot of different types of really, I look at it as a very kind of high art. You take comic book art and you go into this other realm of it. But if you could talk a little bit about who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're all about.
Sure. My name's Jerry Lang. I'm an illustrator and artist, freelance, by night, by day. I have a government job, you know, pay the bills, pay for the house.
Yeah.
And, I'm an illustrator. I do all sorts of different kind of work, from comic books to film screening posters I've done for, like, Star Wars and Star Trek and different stuff for local and
beautiful
theaters.
Stuff. Really, really
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, and then I try to mix my style of traditional illustration with the digital, and done comic book work, and I'm currently actually working on two pieces for a Batman 66 compendium, doing that's two awesome. Portraits for that. That's
my awesome. Group. when did you first see Little House on the Prairie?
I watched it in its original run as a kid. I was about 6 or 7 when it first came on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember watching it. My earliest memories are actually with my parents. You know, when I was real little, we moved in with my grandfather. And I remember sitting watching, Little House, Waltons, those type of shows, and my grandfather sitting on his lap, and he'd cut his apples, slice them for me, and eat one and then feed me one. And as a family, we'd be watching it. And those kind of shows, because my grandfather was, was a hunter and enjoyed the country. In fact, my uncle has a farm, 170 acres in Angelica, New York. And my grandfather would live there half of the year. He'd stay at the house, and then half of the year, I remember as a kid, he'd be gone. Well, where's Grandpa? Well, he's gone to the farm. And he'd be gone for weeks at a time.
Wow, that's tremendous. That's bigger than Charles's place.
Yeah, I deer hunted there as a young kid, teenager, and the family all did it. And I just loved going up there, and it's just walk the old gas line. It basically was just like being out in the prairie. It was, you're in the middle of nowhere in Angelica, New York. The town's maybe got 1,000 people, not even, maybe less nowadays in it. So small little town with one little hotel. When you pull in, you got the grocery store, you got the merchant store, and you got the church in a little square. And that's about it.
Is there a blacksmith?
I don't think so anymore nowadays. There'd be a tire. Now it'd be just a tire person to put tires on the cars.
Do you have a first episode that you remember from when you were a kid? I mean, you said you watched it when you were very little, but is there one that stands out that you watched where you really have this like a 7-year-old Jerry or something watching, and you kind of really remember it, and it really resonates with you?
The one that's, well, always resonated with me is in the pilot, actually, is when at the end, when Mr. Edwards is basically traipsing through the snow.
He's Long Johns.
You see him, he's in Long Johns, and he falls in that cold water, and he's walking through that, and obviously it's a stage set, you know, it's not real cold, but he falls in the water, and he's Long Johns with these presents wrapped up. We know they're presents later. We find them wrapped up in these little sacks under his arms through a blizzard.
The guy, we know right away that Isaiah is crazy at that point, right?
Yep.
So, do you have a favorite and least favorite episode? I know, it's always a tough one.
Favorite. Like I said, I'm revisiting it all these years later. I'm actually on season 3.
Yeah, you're watching them chronologically right now, right? You just started from the beginning and you're just going through the DVD set.
Yes, I got the DVD set last for my birthday this past year. I'd watch, like everybody else, you watch it when you're a kid, then you kind of get away to it to other shows and other things in life. Then I've been, you know, seeing episodes here and there through the years on, like, cable. But yeah, I got the box set, and I'm on season 3 now. And to be honest, there's none that I really dislike. Mm. There's none that are, like, I have favorites because I actually enjoy them all. They're like the show. It was a pretty even keeled show in terms of drama and action and a little bit of comedy, to where there isn't a lot of episodes I don't think that stand out as fantastic. I think they're all like really evenly good. Some are better than others, and some aren't as strong story-wise, but they all have the same theme of family and perseverance. There isn't really a big leap in terms of narrative episode to episode like some more dramatic or more action-oriented shows.
Well, there definitely is that balance. We really love that it covers so many different facets of storytelling. But one of the reasons why I always thought is because of the different types of characters. So do you have a favorite character or a least favorite character? Even a one-off, you know?
Oh, let me think. Of course, everybody likes Laura because it's kind of her story.
Yeah.
Even though we have strong actors and characters like, you know, Michael Landon as Charles, Karen Grasso as a mother, which was more reserved. You know, obviously Michael Landon was a huge star at the time. But I kind of like Mr. Edwards' character. You know, just the free, easygoing guy that's kind of not really, doesn't know how to read well or write well, and even speak well sometimes.
He's like a rough and tumble, like man's man type of thing.
Yeah, but I like the diversity of Charles, who's actually very intelligent and almost very wise for being like a country person.
Yeah,
and that, but he worked his way up, and you feel like he earned where he's at in his life. Mm. It wasn't given to him. You know, he probably came from a poor background too, but he, compared to the merchants, you know, the Olsons, especially with Mrs. Olson, it's very, very different dynamic. Her husband Nels compared to Charles, they're both very nice people, but they come from different backgrounds.
What are your thoughts on Laura Ingalls Wilder's literature, her books that she had written in her 60s about all of this?
I have the little book set from the early 70s. It's a collection of I have the yellow box set.
Mm-hmm.
There was
I have the same one. Theme. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I'd like to start reading them. I'd like to hopefully, you were talking about a book club possibly or something like that we had discussed, and then to get us to read the book. So I'd actually like to make a reason to sit down and read them. Just with so much going on, it's tired sometimes in life to sit down and take the time to actually read when it's not your phone.
You're a lifer with Little House. What do you get out of Little House on the Prairie, the TV show now, or the books? You know, like when you look back on it, outside of nostalgia, and that's something that you and I both have a love for, is nostalgia. You have a podcast. Actually, do you want to just mention your podcast and where people might be able to find it? Because it really goes side by side with the same era of the TV show Little House on Prairie.
Sure, I was going to save it for the end, but I'll do it now. I'm a co-host of a podcast. It's actually a live Facebook show. We do it every Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called the OSI Files. It's a episode-by-episode review of the classic $6 Million Man show.
Mm-hmm.
We have the main host, John S. Drew. is the host. I'm the co-host, and we have guests from, you know, around the world on every. We try to do it every Sunday, unless some things come up here and there. And we're on actually we're on season four, and it's actually year four of doing a podcast. So basically, we do the episodes, then we take the summer off, just like the show did, and we catch up if we missed any episodes that we had, you know, we had to cancel
for right.
any reason we couldn't be on, and we had that on Sundays, and it's on Sundays, just like we originally were on Fridays, just like the $6 Million Man started. Then when it went to Sundays. Another station, we took the show to Sundays, which is now.
I and love it. On, it's yep, the little things like that that make it so worth it to follow some podcasts. You
yeah.
know?
Then on Wednesdays, John has the Bionic Woman which show, which part of the OSI Files. Sundays is $6 Million. Then on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is the Bionic Woman. Just like back in the day, it was on Sunday, $6 Million. Then Wednesday was the Bionic Woman. He has a guest, another co-host, because I didn't want to do it two nights a week, Elizabeth Goddard. And they're doing Bionic Woman, and they're on season two,
mm-hmm.
which only has one more season of that left, and one more season, which is next year, season five. And we do a review episode by episode. We have guests on, different people from around the world, anywhere, artists. We have an artist from Britain. We have people from California, all over the world that were fans of the show. And we talk about it. We review it episode by episode.
Yeah, you have a great following. And the show is a very fun show to listen to. I always forget it's on. But I do catch it often, like afterward.
Like, yeah, we call it the OSI Files because that's where Steve and Jamie worked for. And Oscar Goldman was head of the OSI, which is... It changes, but it was the Office of Scientific Investigation. Sometimes nice. It was the Office of Scientific Intelligence. It didn't have a consistent writer at the head of everything, controlling all those little things. But that's why it's called the OSI Files.
It's like the Knight Foundation.
yep.
The Michael, Knight Rider company. But yep. So what do you get out of Little House on the Prairie today?
Like everybody, it's a simpler time. I mean, that's why, you know, I think I still enjoy the country going. I have woods behind my house I walk in. And so I think a lot of people say it was simpler times. Life was slower compared to, you know, the fast-paced, social media-driven
mm-hmm.
Society today. And I think what I noticed the biggest difference, too, and it's a part of what reminded me of, you know, my grandfather and my mom and dad and growing up in the 70s, which a lot of listeners, I think, that are of our age and watched it back then can relate to. On the show, Charles is the head of the family. You know, he's the unquestioned, you know, leader of the family. You know, you have his wife,
Carolyn.
Carolyn, yeah, sorry about that. She's strong, but she's more reserved. And then you have the kids, you know, and their personalities. But like back then, when I was growing up, my father was the unconditional leader of the, of the household. And obviously when my grandfather was, because we were living in his house, which eventually when he passed, it became my parents' house, you know. Mm-hmm. My parents still live in that house.
But yeah, you have that standard family dynamic that that is so popular. And yeah, I guess you could really relate it to your own life and see, well, you know, they have a mom and pa and I have a mom and pa, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's a very, I think people get very different things from it. But yeah, I don't think anybody could deny that the message that each episode was putting forward is was a worthwhile teaching of a story.
Yeah.
You always walked away with something, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. I joke around with people and ask what it was like growing up. I go, this is what it was like. I knew back then when I was in trouble, the famous saying all us kids got from mom when we acted up was what? Wait till your father gets home. I pretty much would tell my mom, just pack my bags.
Yeah.
I'm moving out because I'm going to be dead. He's going to kill me when I get home. You know, and that was the saying when, you know, the fear of dad is the leader of the household. And if mother had to discipline or question anything, when she said she's going to tell dad, wait till dad got home, he knew you're going to sit at the table and he's going to tell you to look at him. Don't look around. Don't read a book. Sit and look me in the eye. And I'm going to have a discussion with you about acting up.
Yeah,
and you do.
I get that. I get that as the dad. And I don't know why my son listens to me, to be honest with you, because I'm not... I'm not that harsh, to be honest with you, but for whatever reason, maybe there's a stigma in his head where he's like, well, I'm just supposed to not argue with dad. But my wife will turn to me and it's like, why does he listen to you and not me? And it's like, I don't know.
Maybe it's that 6'7" frame or James Arnaz frame. You're intimidating people, maybe.
I say, because I'm a better parent. I'm just kidding. And then I get the look, then no popcorn. But Jerry, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this today. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, you can find Jerry not only on the OSI Files podcast, you can also find him popping into the Walnut Grove cast episodes. Where we're just scheduling a couple of them before we started recording. So a lot of new people also coming onto the podcast, so that's a lot of fun. And but, yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this today, Jerry.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to discuss Little Walnut Grove.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to come on and talk about Little House on the Prairie, please reach out to me, mark@walnutgrovecast.com.
This portion of Little House on the Prairie has been brought to you by All Temperature Cheer. All Temper Cheer.
Thursday night, Orson Welles hosts a gigantic and dazzling special featuring the Soviet Union's top performers. First time on American television, highlights of the Russian Dance Festival. Followed by the award-winning true story, Farewell to Manzanar. Thursday starting at 8, 7 Central and Mountain Time on NBC. Stay tuned now for Dark Victory next.